Our reading this morning has been written by Angela Van Amberg, one of our members' friends, and she isn't able to be here, so I have the pleasure of reading that. What I have enjoyed most about being a white female is being invisible. It has enabled me to coast through life, fitting in almost anywhere I chose to be. I have blended in with the homeless and mentally ill, in New York City subways and bus stations, using their ranting as writing material. When I had no money, I stayed warm in fancy hotel lobbies in Moscow, looking like I belonged there, even though I really didn't. For years, I hitchhiked, getting hundreds of free rides because I didn't look like a threat, one of the few advantages of being a woman. Another area I have enjoyed invisibility is in banks, where I have been given accounts even though I wasn't a resident of the country, or where I've been given loans and mortgages even though I wasn't as financially stable as someone of another race would have to have been. However, occasionally I chose to live with my color wide open. There was no being invisible when I moved to Harlem when it was still all black. Sometimes I was called bad words and sometimes I was called Snow White. I kept my hood up and my head down. I did my best to blend in. It was impossible to be invisible while working and traveling in China and Tibet. The attention of being different was more than I felt comfortable with, but I knew it was one of privilege. Although I was being stared at, it was not filled with the negativity that many minorities endure. How convenient that I couldn't be here today so that I may remain invisible. I would not feel comfortable reading this and having the attention as the white girl who's had it so easy. It is this church that reminds me that you cannot contribute to a community while remaining invisible. You can rest assured that I do have a conscience, and it is this church that helps me step out of my comfort zone and stand up for those who may or may not be invisible, but worse, have no voice. I am still finding my own voice, but when I do, I will be sure to speak loudly and be heard on behalf of those who are not.
Okay, that's a hard one to follow. Angela is like quite an amazing writer, and I can't say it as powerfully as she did in so few words. But first, before I start, I want to just appreciate all the people who make this possible, from the person who invited me to present to Marilyn. This absolutely wouldn't have come off without your support and help, to my partner, Babak, who helps me stay sane in the ripples of every day, and to all of the musicians who back up the message so well and are so flexible to surround us and embrace us with things that also move us in different ways. And there's probably people I've left out of that. So it's really also an honor to have your time today. I was really excited to be invited to present, though I probably could have used another 30 hours or so to review, reflect, discuss, distill, and condense. But I hope that some of what I share today will open up questions for you. I'm trying to really live the UU principle about practicing a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. It's likely we want this one built into our being. I kind of think we're born with that disposition, ever curious humans. But it's pretty easy in this time of massive information and madness to forget what the point is. The UU Church felt like the right place to bring my questions, challenges, and learning to be honest and open. I feel among friends here, and know we are each on our own journey to experience meaning in life for ourselves and with one another. So today I'll share my story and also openly seek to plant seeds about what I and what we can do to address the challenges we face in trying to live a principled life. And the principles that I'm going to lean into from the UU path are the inherent worth and dignity of every person, acceptance of one another, justice, equality, and compassion in human relations, and this is one of my personal favorites, but the respect for the interdependent web of all existence which we are a part. The subject matter makes me feel, it feels very heavy sometimes. It makes me uncomfortable to discuss. So I would like to be able to share this with my colleagues at work, but actually I'm still sort of working with this piece. I find it more uncomfortable than talking about religion with peers in Halifax. It's uncomfortable because I don't have the answers, and I'm not sure if I sometimes understand the problem. I'm not an academic. I wouldn't say that I'm very well read, but I am driven by my own commitment to search for truth and meaning. I also find my compassion gives me the courage to learn and understand things I'm uncomfortable with. And I feel like that helps me connect with other people and create meaning. So what does this have to do with unpacking the invisible knapsack? Well, my story is, over a number of years living in this community, I've been fortunate to experience a lot of meaningful things. Since I moved here in 2003, I've birthed two wonderful children, Louisa and Sabine. I've started and closed a business, The Hub Halifax. The impetus for starting The Hub was to create a radically better world. We tried. Still trying to do that one. I've been a wife. I have a partner who is wonderful, and I met a best friend here in this church. And I've been attending since November 2010 to learn from many of you. More recently, with the closing of The Hub and both of my children in school, I'm employed full-time at the United Way Halifax. These days, I'm digesting a great deal of content about how our communities engage in poverty reduction and poverty elimination work. As some of you know, I'm the Poverty Solutions Facilitator for United Way Halifax, and I'm really pleased to share with you that this Tuesday, April 25th, the city approved a partnership with United Way to produce a poverty solutions strategy. So this was great news for us to hear, and also really overwhelming. And that is because I've been stepped into a role March 1st as the Poverty Solutions Facilitator. So I feel like holding that piece, as well as being a mother of two, is a daily challenge, but I feel like I have a lot of support networks, I have economic means, and I have healthy family connections. So there's an incredible opportunity right now to take bold steps to reduce and really end poverty in our community. If you advocate for people experiencing poverty, I know there are many of you in the room, if you are experiencing poverty or ever have, this isn't a light matter at all. I really want to do this work well, and I have high expectations of myself and the other people engaging in this. I know it's bigger than me, and that others carry the weight and risk of our getting this wrong more heavily. I know this work involves transformation, and I see my role as one of opening up pathways to our collective wisdom and compassion towards addressing this challenge. Though I have little experience personally of poverty, I have had a taste of what it feels like not to be seen, included, or valued. In fact, I believe no matter what your path or station, this is also true probably for every human. But we do experience this differently and at different scales. My experiences are fairly limited and not a daily occurrence. I'd say if bad experiences were rocks that you put into a knapsack, I could still walk around carrying mine and be okay. It wouldn't weigh me down so much. My rocks are small, not so many. However, with all the amazing experiences I've had in Halifax, I felt at times deeply, deeply sad about living in this community. As a woman and a mother and a social entrepreneur, I felt marginalized and not valued for what I can contribute in certain circles of people. Predominantly, these circles reinforce a local stereotype of where power is held by white men. I find this really hard to talk about because there are a lot of people I love are white men. My father is a white man, my brother is a white man, and many I love are white men. So I want to just really draw a line here that it's not my intention to enhance any narrative that doesn't serve us well. So I instead seek to challenge myself and each of us to develop a personal awareness of our own privilege and power so we know when it serves us and when it does not. I've sadly been witness to overt and subtle racism and discrimination in Halifax. We were blessed at the Hub Halifax one year to have a young Colombian woman voluntarily join us as an intern to learn about our work and contribute. She is an incredible woman who has touched my life, my family, and many in our Halifax community. She is charismatic, attractive, loving, joyful, and wonderful. And even with all these assets, during the course of her stay in Halifax, she experienced racism and discrimination. It showed up in how she was treated by our Canadian Border Services. She's from Colombia. She must be a drug dealer. So the searches that happened through her personal effects were very hard for her to go through as a young woman. Oh, and her paperwork was not perfect. So the direct line there was, let's send her back, after she traveled for many hours through quite a difficult journey to arrive. And, of course, you're not allowed to come with us when we put her in a room and question her. Only her lawyer can attend. I can only guess how complex Border Services work is. But that complexity is not an excuse for how we treat people. Racism also shows up when she was told at a community party that her country hosted rapists and killers and that she should be thankful to be in Canada. These situations did not break her spirit, and we did our best to stand with her and address these situations as they arose, but I'm deeply saddened that these things happened. And I also know that this is happening too frequently in our community. So flipping back to work, last year the United Way Halifax held a poverty summit. Amazing speakers, community leaders, activists spoke about how we could address challenges. Our very own Lars spoke well to the positive impact of basic income and how it actually wouldn't take much to realize the benefits of the implementation of this would bring. In the afternoon of the poverty summit, we engaged a local practitioner to work with the group and take us through a process called deep democracy. And this was to become aware of polarized positions that show up in our understanding of poverty in Halifax. So I'll just tell you, the Lewis method of deep democracy is a five-step approach for working with groups and individuals. It is democratic because it emphasizes that every voice matters and that decisions are wisest when the majority and minority voices are both valued. It is deep because it goes far beyond the engagement with ideas and instead looks to surface emotions, intuitions, attachments, and identify issues that make conversation more honest and real. I guess you probably imagine that it was a very tough room to try to engage a large group of Haligonians to discover that polarized voice. So it was hard. Several people left, and several were upset when it finished. I can't say that it was perfect, but in my experience, deep democracy brings up conflicts and tensions that are present, encourages us to listen to each side of the debate, and inevitably it leads to greater insight as a result of listening and sharing. This session identified the need to see how racism and discrimination are present and contributing to the problem of people experiencing poverty in Halifax. Some of the tensions that came up are around the intersectional challenges of grouping people and making assumptions, like if you're white-skinned, you have privilege. And I've read, you know, lots of articles about people who really push back against that kind of labeling or even self-labeling. I noticed some people speaking out who were white and had experienced poverty who didn't feel it was just about racism. It was an impactful experience, and I actually applaud the United Way for being brave enough to host that conversation. But we had a combination of some negative feedback, but also very people who talked about lots of transformation around views and understanding, and just actually seeing that that issue is very present for us here. It was a surprise. It's hard work, and it's not easy to face. And I guess maybe this is where I came across, and some people saw this way before I did, the working paper written by Peggy McIntosh from 1988 called White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Backpack. Peggy McIntosh is the Associate Director of the Wellesley College Center for Research for Women. Peggy is an academic, but what I really loved about her essay is that from my perspective, it came from a place of awareness, inquiry, and curiosity. Here's a quote. "I was taught to see racism only in individual acts of meanness, not in invisible systems conferring dominance in my group. I think whites are carefully taught not to recognize white privilege, as males are taught not to recognize male privilege. So I've begun in an untutored way to ask what it is like to have white privilege. I've come to see white privilege as an invisible package of unearned assets, which I can count on cashing in each day. but about which I was meant to remain oblivious. White privilege is like an invisible waitlist knapsack of special provisions, maps, passports, code books, visas, clothes, tools, and blank checks. Describing white privilege makes one newly accountable. As we in women's studies work reveal male privilege and ask men to give up some of their power, so one who writes about having white privilege must ask, having described it, what will I do to lessen or end it? And just sort of to be a bit more playful, pass this around and you can pull a little piece of some of the awareness out for yourself to read. So let's hand that around. What I admire about Peggy's work is that she didn't just think about it, inquire, write about it, and stop. She went on to found the National Seed Project, a peer-led professional development program that creates conversational communities to drive personal, organizational, and societal change toward greater equity and diversity. Seed equips us to connect our lives to one another and to society at large by acknowledging systems of oppression, power, and privilege. Our monthly theme is resistance. To me, Peggy's work is about resisting complacency. SEED assists educators, parents, community leaders, and others in valuing their voices so they can, in turn, better value the voices of others. I see myself, a white-skinned, college-educated woman with economic means, as highly privileged, even with my experiences, able to move quite freely in Halifax with confidence in my ability to navigate the systems of power that exist. It doesn't mean I don't get terribly frustrated along the way. In my work and day-to-day life, I don't see that same privilege exists for everyone in our community. I'm not saying it can be totally equal, but I can definitely work to have greater insight into my own power and privilege, to listen, watch, learn, inquire, and stand with others when their voice is not being heard. I can also create platforms for deeper listening and practice that myself. It's a little bit hypocritical that I'm talking so much and then suggesting listening is the answer. So in the future when I do this and with a bit more time, I would love to bring other voices through. And I think this church does that really well. It provides a platform for deep listening. So I'm having my own personal struggle with unconscious oppression. I'm discovering how to name what that means, gain awareness, and be better equipped to make change. In my day-to-day, as a mother, a worker, I'm trying to make space to breathe. You saw me doing that earlier when I was about to have a little cry there. And reflect on this as well, and definitely make more space to listen. I'm trying to read more and learn from those who experience oppression, and I'm trying to learn what it is to be a good ally. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. When I get there, I try to remember to connect with my heart, my sense of compassion, and my own personal agency to inquire, learn, and have that translated to fuel for positive change-making. Fundamentally, I believe our world is better when we can hear and host the diversity of creativity, intelligence, and wisdom that is already present around us. The challenges we face require that diversity and perspective. I think we just need to figure out how to deconstruct and take down the walls that create barriers. Barriers to inviting and being present with the conflict that can come with diversity if we want to enjoy a good life. I have hope, even for the many white men who hold power in our community. My friend David Upton runs a business named Common Good Solutions, and he's an old white man, he says that himself. But he's lived in our community a long time. I'm really inspired to hear him talk and act about intentionally getting out of the way of his diverse young staff. He is conscious about stepping back to create space for them to step into work in circles where his action involves real risk. Will the power circle they step into respect their voice? Will his company lose business as a result of taking this risk? It doesn't seem to matter to him. Getting out of the way does matter, and he knows this is about sharing power. There are many people in the world like David and Peggy who are doing this well. In fact, I think probably some of the people in this room are already there. So thanks for patiently waiting for the rest of us to catch up. As I understand it, much like intercultural awareness, this is not something you can learn about, move on from. It's about continuous learning and transformation. I have some great links, some funny links, a lot of really good social curation happening in this space. And I'll send that out to you. I tend to be quite a technology-able person, but when it comes to mashing up with the systems here, there just wasn't quite the time. So thank you, everyone, for listening. I really look forward to hearing your thoughts and feedback, as well as continuing this journey to the free, well, a journey that's about the free and responsible search for truth and meaning.